I'm glad to be here this morning. Again, just, you know, I love Sunday mornings. I love to hear and just to see what God is going to do. Do you know what God's going to do this morning or is already done? You know, last week I had someone come up and talk to me afterwards, and they said, I won't give any names of who it is, but they came up and said, you know, I had an epiphany while you were speaking. And I said, what was that? He said, I just had this picture, you know, of the five kings. When Joshua had killed the five kings, he put them up on display for everybody to see. And I always thought, like, God was always going to put our sin on display for everybody to see. And I didn't like that. I didn't want people to know all my junk, and it had to be on display. And I'd always interpreted it that way. And then after last week, I realized, like, no. He took those five kings and threw them back in the cave, which they hid, and rolled the rock back over it. And he said, Lord just spoke to me. He's like, the things that are done are done. Put it in the cave, roll the rock in front of it, move forward, and let's get going. You know? And it's like, now, none of that was said in the sermon. You know? But that's what God did. He took what was said and turned it for what that person needed in that moment. What do you need this morning? What are you going to hear this morning? Have you already heard it? Maybe you need a fresh revelation that just kind of sets you free. Maybe just a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit to revitalize your spirit, to rise up again. I don't know what it is, but I know that God is here to meet us this morning. As we gather around his words, we gather together in fellowship, as we gather and worship together, God does things, and I'm excited. I'm excited to come every time because I don't know about you, but I actually come pretty needy to church. I do. I really do. I come needy. I'm completely aware of my shortcomings. The spotlight's on you, you know? I'm totally aware of my inadequacies, my insecurities, my fears, all the stuff that goes, why in the world are you sitting in that chair surrounded by those people trying to talk about God? You know, I'm totally aware of those things. And I just, oh God, I need you. And I come needy. Anybody else come needy? Oh, see, that's the best part about church. You can come as you are, right? You can come needy. And in this place, hopefully find compassion and grace and love and community and friendship and relationships, and find that you're not on this journey alone. And speaking of journey, that's my segue into our sermon this morning. We're going to wrap up our Joshua series, which we called Invasion, which was the journey of Israel going in and receiving the promised land that God had promised to Abraham thousands of years before they ever came to take it. Maybe not quite that long, but a long, long time. And so this morning, we're just going to cover like the whole rest of the book from chapter 12 to chapter 24. How about that? So we're going to do 12 chapters today. And I got to be honest with you, the last battle that we're talking about this morning is the taking of the northern territories. Israel had already crossed over the Jordan. They'd gone in and conquered Jericho, which is kind of in the middle between the north and the south. Then they conquered Ai. And then last week we talked about how they took all the southern territories. And now today we're going to cover how they conquered all the northern territories. And I got to tell you, it's a letdown. It is a total letdown. And it's almost like for me, like, the latest Star Wars movie. Anybody seen the latest Star Wars movie? Right? Wasn't that just like a kind of a letdown in many ways, right? I know some of you probably loved it. But oh my gosh, how do you get rid of the greatest superhero Skywalker guy the way that they did it? I didn't say how they did it. But you get there, and then they finally show that scene, and you're just like, what? That was a lot of time for that. Just this letdown. And then the whole Leia in outer space thing? What in the world? What a waste. What a letdown. Like, really? You know, and so all those experiences, those movies, another movie that I watched that I just really hated the ending, which is like a terrible letdown for me, was Hunger Games. I had to sit through three long episodes to get her to that end spot, and then that happened? Anybody with me on this? Okay, some of you are probably not into these movies, that's okay. But my point is just to say, I'm sure you've watched some movie or read some book or got to the end of something, and you're like, that's all that was? this huge letdown. I almost feel like this is how the story goes for Joshua. So far, everything that we've read, they're coming up against this mighty Jordan River. It's going to part. They got to take stones from each side. And there's all this drama and all this detail that's given to us. Then they come to Jericho. We got these gigantic thick walls and these people, you know, that are just arrogant inside of it. And they start marching around. We get all these details about the march and what they got to do and how they got to rise up. And they come down and they conquer it. Then we got the story of Ai and how they chased Israel and then Israel came back and you know, it's almost like WWF, the guy's pinned and his finger comes back up, you know, and you got all this drama and all this detail about the battle and how the battle was won. And then that last one with Ai, I mean, you've got this like, this last one here in the Southern Territories, the people are running away from Israel, right? They're running from, just imagine in slow motion in movie cinematography, just running in slow motion, trying to get away from Israel while Israel yells, Braveheart or something, you know, and they, is that what he yelled? What did he yell into Braveheart? Freedom. Freedom. There you go. Freedom! Right? I guess he could yell Braveheart too. I don't know. I'm a real movie buff, you could tell. So just see all the enemy just running in slow motion and Israel chasing after them, right? And then all of a sudden out of heaven, these big hailstones start falling and killing the enemy, right? You know, and so God's just hurling stuff at them. It's like, what I'm getting at, there's in all the stories that we've read so far, there is a lot of detail and fanfare and, you know, it could draw you into the story. Man, this is adventure. This is comic book stuff. You know, the little boys would love to read these battles, you know, in a comic book style. And then we come to this section and you get none of it. I mean, just none of that. All of a sudden, this book shifts gears in a very clear way, and I'm going to show it to you. It just totally changes gears and goes somewhere else. So instead of focusing on all these battles, it changes. They do give you just maybe a couple little details. I'll highlight them to you in the story there that starts here in chapter 12. It says that the northern territories all gathered together, and it said that how big were they, these armies coming together? The Bible describes them as there was as many of them as there was sand on the seashore. That's a lot of people. Right? And that's obviously just an expression, but a ton of people. And then it highlights that these northern armies have horses and chariots. Now let's remember for a moment where Israel came from. They wandered the desert for 40 years after escaping Egypt as slaves. They probably don't have horses. They probably don't have chariots. But they're going up against these armies that have horses and chariots. They're outnumbered, they're outgunned, and the other side is stronger. Right? And this is what they're going up against. And that's all you know as far as details go. And then I want to show you the big letdown. You ready for this? We're just going to read the whole battle together. You ready for this? This is the entire battle. Can you go ahead and give me the first line there, Chris? Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow at this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel." So you got the big buildup. You're ready for this great movie, this great battle and God's intervention and all this other kinds of stuff that goes on. And Lord says, Joshua, don't be afraid. Tomorrow will be done. And then here's the whole battle. You ready for the whole battle? Here we go. So Joshua and all the people of war with him came upon them suddenly by the waters of Merom and attacked them. The Lord delivered them to the hand of Israel so that they defeated them and pursued them as far as Great Sidon and all those other names. And just, there was no survivor left to them. That's it. We're done. That's it. Done. I feel like Princess Leia in outer space. You know, it's like, it's like, no, this is a bigger battle. This is a stronger battle. Show me how God intervened again. Show me all the stuff that happened there. Show me the miracles. Show me where it came in. It's just kind of like, yeah, God just did it. Right? No details. There's no moon or sun being standing still in the sky. You know, we don't have any details of these great stories that happened. But you know God did something, right? We do know that, right? There's no way Israel beat that many people with horses and chariots as a bunch of untrained people without God intervening. You just don't know what he did. Now, if you were a warrior and God did something for you, would you pass that story on? You know, later on when you're sitting in your land and all the stuff that you got, wouldn't you be telling your kids about the battle? So you know there were stories that were passed on. They just didn't get recorded for us. I think what we can draw from this is that the focus of the book of Joshua has never really been about the fights. It's never really been, the author's intent was never to highlight all the battles. We did cover the battle of Jericho and how God has to conquer our hearts. And we did cover the battle at Ai, you know, and where we had to learn about letting go of condemnation and not carrying that. We did learn about, you know, how the Gideonites deceived with false humility. And then we did learn about self-righteous, about King Adonai Zedekah and the battles that Christians have with self-righteousness and all these different things. There were battles. It was there. But that was never the focal point. Because if it was, we would have gotten a whole lot more here. But we don't. So we know that the author does cover the fights and the battles, right? But that's not his focus. And so I always really thought that this was the letdown in the whole story. What a letdown! Until it dawned on me I was seeing it wrong. It's actually not a letdown at all. It's actually beginning to focus on what the book has really been focused on all along, and now the whole rest of the book is solely going to focus on it. And it is not the focus of the fight, but it's the focus on God's faithfulness. See, because here on out, from that verse right there to the rest of the end of the book, is nothing but Israel getting the land that they were promised. And how it got divided up, and how they received what God said he would do. This is the recordings, the accountings, the details of God's faithfulness to his promise to Abraham. The focus has always been on God's faithfulness, faithfulness in the fights, but also faithfulness in possession of that which he called us to have and bringing us into it. It wasn't a letdown at all. God's faithfulness comes into focus. And this whole book is going to be summed up in saying that God is faithful to complete what he started. And if this whole book is a historical metaphor to explain Jesus Christ crossing over the heavens, entering into a creation that is dead and full of corruption and despair and brokenness, and bringing it into eternal life, then we can know he's going to finish that too. And so all of creation is moving toward having eternal life. That the glory of God would cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. There is a bright future ahead. There is a good future ahead because the King has already come and conquered, and he's leading us into it. He's leading us toward it, and we will walk there and follow after him. I appreciate the word this morning. Don't think that you can't do it. Don't think that you're not able. Don't think that you don't have a part in this. No, there is a future. God's called you to be a part of it, and we are all moving that way together. It is going to happen. As this book tells us, he is faithful to complete what he starts. Whatever he commits to, there is no curse that can assault his throne. There is nothing that can stop him from doing what he said he's going to do. And since he has said, I in Christ am going to bring all the families together of the earth to worship him and know the Father, then he's going to do that. Oh, he's going to complete the work that he started. You see, this whole book begins to focus on the faithfulness of God, and Israel is now in the land, surrounded by the promise of God. Everywhere they look, they're just reminded of the promise. Every rock, every tree, every mountain, every hill, every valley, that's ours, that's ours, that's ours, that's ours, that's ours. In time, it's all ours. They're surrounded by the promise. They're totally immersed in, oh my gosh, it's actually happening. They've actually conquered almost everything at this point, but they just got to continue to filter in and receive all that God promised to them. Everything that Abraham looked and saw, everything that Abraham walked around previously, that God said, I'm going to give this to your ancestors, is now being fulfilled and being completed. See, this book is not about the battles, whether big or small, or what they endured or what they seemingly failed, or how long the battles lasted. It was about God being faithful to his promise to Abraham, that we as a people can trust God to be faithful to his promises to us. You only have the battle because you're in the promised land. If they stayed on the other side of the Jordan, they don't have any of these battles. They don't have any of these fights. The focus isn't the battle. The focus isn't your false humility, your self-righteousness, your condemnation. The focus has nothing to do with you. Those things he has to overcome in your life that you get the real focus. Take a hold of eternal life to which I've called you. And so with that, we begin to see then that Israel is surrounded by the promises of God. They are surrounded with seeing God's faithfulness. And that is what's going to enable them and continue to do this battle. And so these battles that happen, since they're not the focus, they almost become old hat. And it's just like, oh, yeah, so they gathered up and Israel beat them. No drama, no fanfare. May our lives get there. May we grow in Christ enough that when the battles come to you, oh, here we go again. Lord's going to give us victory somehow. We're going to win again. We're not even dismayed at the enemy. Not even terrified of what's coming up. Not even focusing on the battles and the fights that's all there. You're just focusing on, Lord's going to give us victory again. And part of the way that they had that victory, they were constantly reminded of the promises of God available to them. And I think at this point, we can transition us to thinking about what has God promised you? He's promised to lead you out of death and into eternal life. So you need to be surrounded with the promises. You need to be surrounded with the vision of what he's offered you. Is it in your mind? Are you focused on what God's faithfulness to you is going to look like when he's done? Or is the focus on your mind about the battles you're in? The times you won, the time you lost, the thing you learned, all the ins and outs. See, if you're going to focus on all the fights that you have in your life, you are going to be let down. Because life isn't about the struggle and about the fight. It's about maintaining faith and keeping in our imagination what God is doing and what is going to be done when it's all finished. It is having that picture, the land, the promises surrounding us and going, I am not giving up. I am focused on God's faithfulness. I am focused on what he's producing and what he's doing in the earth. And my thoughts and my imagination and my energy is to be focused on that, not my personal battle at the moment. Oh, the battle will draw you back, but how do you win the battle? Oh, just remember what the promise was. It's all yours. So I think it's time to imagine righteousness and peace and joy ruling in your heart, in your home. Say it again. It's time to imagine righteousness, peace, and joy ruling in your heart and home. This is the kingdom of God, and it has been his delight to give you that. No matter what status your family is in right now, whatever struggle your family is in right now, I don't want you to focus on the struggle. I want your imagination to go, hey, what does righteousness, peace, and joy look like in my home? That is what's been promised to me. That is what we're surrounding around. That is what we're moving toward. And we're waiting to see the faithfulness of God to produce that righteousness, peace, and joy in my heart and in my home. In our community. It's time to imagine the listless and the wandering finding direction. Yes. Didn't he promise that for you and your children? Didn't he say he would lead you in the path to go? Oh, let our hearts imagine this today, the listless and the wandering finding direction. It is time to begin to imagine the wounded and fragmented psyche becoming whole again. It is time to begin to see yourself being healthy and the past thrown in the cave, which it belongs, and you beginning to have a new future. Because he promised it to you in Christ. This is the eternal life that he's leading you into, but you must see it. You must see it with the eye of your imagination. It's time to imagine the addicted, becoming empowered to grasp a hold of life. Every bondage, every chain, smashed in his presence. Because he promised it to you. Doesn't matter how big the armies are, they got horses or chariots. He's going to deliver it into your hand. Yes. Let us imagine the addicted being empowered to overcome their addiction and grasp a hold of life. It's time to imagine the depressed finding light and hope, having cheer and having smiles on their hearts again. It's time to see people's faces washed away from the dirt and the pain and the sorrows of this life and being washed in the light and life of Jesus Christ. This has been promised to us. It's time to imagine the brokenhearted, inspired, and hopeful. It's time to imagine the materialist encountering the Spirit. It is time to imagine the blind regaining their eyesight. It's time to imagine force and brutality being exchanged for service and meekness in all of our communities, in all of our land, wherever we are. This is the power of the gospel that resides in you. The word is already in your mouth. We must see it in the land around us. We must live it and speak it. And it is time to begin to imagine it and believe that it is going to happen here. It is time. It is time to imagine the weak becoming strong again. It is time to imagine the empty becoming filled again. It is time to believe that there is nothing impossible for God. It is time to believe nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. It is time to believe that God's invading love is for you and not against you. This is what we are surrounded by. This is what he's leading us into. We must focus on his faithfulness to these promises and not on the current struggle or battle that you are in. It is time to believe that Christ truly is enough for you. It is time to believe in the redemptive plan of God for your life. You are no longer evil. You are not a slave to fear. Your future is bright. There is righteousness, peace, and joy for you as God continues to form Christ in your heart. You are a child of God, an heir of the kingdom of God. You are a participant in the divine nature, and he is faithful to provide to you everything that you need for life and godliness. You lack nothing. This is what God has given to us. This is the promise, eternal life that has been given to us. It is the land that he's leading you into. Can you see it? Have the eyes of your heart been opened to see that and begin to imagine what that looks like for your family and what that looks like for you and what that might look like for Hampton? You see, God is faithful to finish what he started, to complete every good work. He's already begun these things in us. Let us continue to imagine them, that we do not lose heart, that we do not lose courage, but we remember these things and go, God, let it happen, let it be so. Let it be here, let it be now. Sure, you're gonna have many battles, but let's not talk about the battles. Let's focus on his faithfulness and let's talk about the splitting up of the spoils of victory. Sure, you're going to talk about battles. You can't avoid it. But let's talk about splitting up the spoils of victory. That's a whole lot more fun to talk about splitting up the spoils of victory than it is about how our country is going down the tubes. I hear a whole lot more conversation about how our country is going down the tubes than I hear people going, I can't wait to split up the spoils of victory. Where's faith? Where is it? Let it rise up in us today. Let us remember the promise that is set before us. Let's not focus on the battle and how many chariots and how strong the media is or how strong the negativity is or how big the current is of people going left or going right. But let us remember the strength and the faithfulness of our God. See, it's time to speak of the victory over death and corruption in our communities. It's time to speak of the victory over death and corruption in our communities. How long does downtown Newport News have to be like that? My entire life, it has been the exact same situation. How long has it been for you? Has it been the same way since you've been alive here? Economically destroyed. Families torn apart left and right. Policing problems everywhere. Spoils of victory. Because we start thinking about the spoils of victory, maybe we'll engage the battle. How long do some of our communities right here, Michael's Woods and Riverdale, have to be like they are? Nobody knowing anyone. You drive your car into your house, you don't know your neighbor. Not you personally, but in general. Let's start talking about the spoils of victory where people know each other and serve each other and care for each other. It is time to speak to the end of the cycle of violence and apathy plaguing us. It is time to speak of knowing your neighbor. It is time to speak of serving your neighbor. It is time to speak of good of your neighbor regardless of their politics. It's time to speak of the power of a small mustard seed. The power of a small mustard seed growing large and overtaking. You may think you're nothing. You may think you have nothing. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is time to focus not on the fight, but on his faithfulness. It's time to speak of enemies coming to agreement on a better future. It's time to speak of empty things again becoming full. It's time to speak of life swallowing up death. In our lives, in our homes, in our community, in our nation. It's time to speak in celebratory words of our bright future. It's time to speak of God's new intervention in this day, today. Amen. I love what he did in the past. I'm here because of what he did in the past. But what is he doing today? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about a new intervention. He's doing it again. He will be faithful to all generations. He has invaded and he's going to lead us to eternal life. He will not abandon us to failure. He will not abandon us to death. He's not brought us this far to stop. Oh, it is time to speak of God's new intervention. It's time to speak of the weary gaining new fortitude. It is time to speak of the mundane and routine in complementary terms of faithfulness. No, young moms, your lives are not just routine, wow, just doing the thing over again. You are being faithful to the Creator to raise up children who are going to serve the living God. Oh, faithful servant of God. Oh, you don't need a mommy break. You just need to see the glory of God that shines upon you today. Oh, your spirit will rise up inside of you and you have a fight to take the land of your child's heart. A little coffee break, you ain't gonna do none of that. It is time to speak of the embers being rekindled. It is time to speak of faith being re-infused with passion to believe God. It is time to speak of every failure as the thing that created a new hunger for God in your soul. It is time to speak of the confused finding wisdom. It's time to speak of children returning to their parents. It is time to speak of families coming together to worship and honor Christ. It is time to believe God. It is time to believe God to finish what he started. This is the promised land. This is what he said to us. Let us believe our God. He will finish what he started. He sent Christ into the world, a world that did not know who God was, a world that was confused, not understanding God's desire for compassion over sacrifice, a world that did not understand his glory. He sent Christ to invade a dead world enslaved to corruption. He sent Christ to lead it from that corruption into the glory of eternal life. And what started with just one man in a manger and a mother then became 120 in an upper room. And then through a man named Paul who traveled thousands of miles on foot is now spread around the world and is on every single continent. Who worships Zeus today? Where's his name? Silence to myth and lore, movies and legends. But the name of Jesus is still spoken on every continent, every morning, wherever the sun has risen, there's a believer that worships him. He is conquering. He is taking the land. He is faithful to complete what he has started. And there is life for creation. It is time to trust God and rise up again. It is time to trust God and step forward into the calling He has for you. Leave your condemnation behind, leave your fear behind, leave your worries behind. Let us rise up and believe God again. It's time to cross over the Jordan. It is time to walk around Jericho. It is time to overcome the deceptions that try to deceive us. It is time to get over religious servitude. It is time to look up and see that the harvest is ripe, and what He has done, He will do again, and He's doing through us. Amen. If all these things are true, then all I have to say to you this morning is, let us only be strong and courageous. Let us only be strong and courageous. Let us only be strong and courageous. For the Lord fights for us today. The Lord is fighting that death be overcome and swallowed up in the victory of Christ, that all of creation comes to eternal life, and He's doing it through us as a community, and He's doing it in your hearts even now as we speak. Do you see it? Will you allow yourself to see it? Can you close your eyes and just see it? Can you see downtown Newport News transformed? Michael's Woods, Riverdale, York County transformed? Can you see the wayward coming home? Can you see the Spirit being poured out again and people going, wow, God really is real. He's not just some religious thing. Oh, God's awesome. Can you see it? Oh, we have to see it. We have to believe it. We have to trust Him and speak it. This is the call. It's a good call. If you would, let's just stand this morning. Grab a hand of someone beside you, maybe, if you feel comfortable with that. See, the whole book has been not been about the fights and the battles. The book has been about seeing God's faithfulness, even in battles, but most importantly, into the receiving of that which He has promised us as a people. Yes. Let us see God's faithfulness. Let us see these things. See your life changed. Don't listen to any imagination that says that that bright hope and future of walking with Christ can't possibly be yours. It is too. Jesus said so. It is yours. It is ours. It was His for the giving. It is ours for the taking. Let us take it in faith. Oh, it's a beautiful future that Christ has given us. We grab hands as a symbol of you don't do it by yourself. You do it with a body, you do it with a group of people. And this is, we're saying, God, as we're gathered here together, help us, cause us to rise up in faith to believe You and inspire us to take those steps that seem scary, but those steps that You've called us to obey, that we might see the land taken for You. Father, we just come to You this morning as a people. We recognize, Lord, that it is time to see Your promises as something that matters here and now, as something that's supposed to direct the here and now, as something that is supposed to change the here and now. And so, Lord, I pray for us as a people, Lord God, as we continue to walk together and grow together, that, Lord, through our community here, that Your Spirit would be poured out into Hampton and Newport News and York County, that You would transform lives outside of these doors. But Lord, we pray right here, right now, with hands grabbed together in one accord, that You would fill us with Your Spirit today, a fresh wind to revive us, to stir up our passions to believe You again, and to step out in faith. Lord, to erase those things that would try to hinder us, but Lord, to grab a hold of those things to which You've called us to. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with your life. Change our imaginations. Change us that, Lord God, we would see that there are spoils to be divided up. May our tongues be different. May we not speak of the failure and all the terrible things that lie ahead, but when we talk about the victory of dividing up the spoils for Christ. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for every heart and every person here that by your Spirit you'd make these words meaningful to them in that which they need. We commit ourselves to you as a needy people. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.